Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, celebrity interviews, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again, both for our radio audience here in Mississippi at WYAD 94.1 FM and WYADonline.com. We're glad that you all could be with us. Also, joining us are other affiliates around the world. We're glad you all could be with us as well. Well, it's a big day as we're beginning the month of November for our next guest. Author Yasmin Ongo is joining us today for her very first interview on Conversations Live to discuss her debut novel, Her Name is Night. When talked to Yasmin, not only about the writing of the book, but also the complicated characters she's created in Night, what it's like for her to be able to create her world, as well as the circumstances she's living in, and what she hopes you as readers are able to take away from the book as well. Yasmin, thank you so much for the time today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Hey, I know it's a big day for you, but a lot of big things have been happening for you this year, Yasmin. So it's what a way to be able to kind of come to an end of 2021. I mean, already talks, of course, for a television series as well. I mean, what has this experience been like for you to see the way that people are responding tonight?
It has been a whirlwind. It's still kind of hard to believe because, you know, just not too long ago, it was just me who knew this book and who loved this book and, you know, the only person who read the book. And so now it's like everyone is reading it, or hopefully everyone is reading it. And it's like everyone is in my mind now and knows what I think. And I'm not too sure how I feel about that.
Well, when you were creating Night, did you feel like she was something that would resonate with people, Yasmin?
I actually really did, because I was writing a character that I myself wanted to see and read, and I have been wanting to see and read this character, this kind of character, for a very, very long time. I wanted to see, you know, a woman, a black woman, a woman not even from, you know, America or whatever, that has gone through a lot of, you know, adversity in her life, in these genres and spaces where we don't usually see, you know, black women and doing these things that we really don't usually see them or haven't seen throughout history, because those are the kinds of books and movies and TV shows that I love, is action, suspense, thriller, really like spy kind of things. And so I really, really wanted to see that. And when I was writing her story, and her story was so compelling to me, and I was going through a lot of things at that time, so I was just getting all that stuff out there, I was like, I really think when I finished it, like, I think people are going to like it. If only I can get a chance to get it in, you know, the hands of people, I think they're going to like it. And hopefully that's the case.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, when I first heard about the book and started reading about Nina Knight in the book, I thought, wow, I mean, how fascinating to have created this character with a backstory that, of course, a lot of people, unfortunately, Yasmin, we know, can relate to, but also finding herself mm-hmm. in a place where she can do something about it, or at least be able to find some mm-hmm. kind of peace through retribution, as it were. I think the conflicted nature, though, of Nina Knight is what really drew me in, because you wrote this book in her voice. Did you know when she first came to you that this was a story that could only be told in first person?
So I didn't know that at first. Okay. When I decided that I was going to write, well, first of all, I had to decide, how am I really going to explain to the reader, you know, why she's doing the things that she's doing in a way that will, you know, compel the reader to kind of understand her mindset, because, you know, she's an assassin, and that's, you know, that's a bad thing, right? And so when I decided that, well, in order to let them understand why she is the way she is, they've got to really find out how she came to be. And so in developing, you know, the before chapters, the younger version of her, that's when I was like, okay, these have to be first person present tense, because the reader has to be in the mind and the body and the spirit of Aninye, the 14-year-old, to be able to experience these things as she's going through it, and then to, you know, the survival and all that, her journey, they've got to be there in present in real time with her. And so that's why I made her before chapters first person present, and then her after chapters are third person past, because by that time she has, you know, experienced some things, and so she's very closed off. So she's going to be closed off to the reader as well, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. And there are so many different layers of this. I mean, there mm-hmm. is, of course, what she has, which is a personal desire for, I mean, I'll use the word revenge, but I think it goes so much deeper than that, but also, you know, some type mm-hmm. of closure and understanding. But then there's the issue of trafficking that comes up throughout the story, and this fight to be able to, again, another atrocity, right, that we know about mm-hmm. in this world. So talk to us about that. I mean, I think one of the great things about fiction, Yasmin, is that it allows us some time to discuss the truth of the world in a safer way, that you find this to be true with Her Name is Night, that you could discuss real-world things under fiction and get people engaged in it.
Absolutely. So even the thought of trafficking, like, when it started to really like hit me, I had gone to a workshop for my job, and there were survivors of trafficking that were talking about like their experiences, and I was just in such awe of their journey, of the people that they became now despite what they had been through and how strong they were. And that really compelled me to just really think about like how people survive these huge atrocities, like you said. How can I talk about it? Like, it just blew my mind that there were things like that, even though I kind of knew it. It's different when you, like, actually talk and listen to the people who've lived it, right, in real time. And so I just knew that, like, I want to talk about it, and I want to kind of go through my own confusion and trying to understand, you know, why this is. And so, yeah, using fiction to do it is a way for me to really talk about like trafficking, talk about survivor's guilt, talk about, you know, loss and grief and, you know, taking your power back when you feel like, when you know that it's been stolen from you, as, you know, what has happened with my main character. So there were a lot of things that I was trying to really just figure out. It was like my own like therapy session and trying to understand. And I don't know that I still even understand human trafficking and why it is still this way after all the history that we've had with that. But I hope that it just opens up, you know, some more conversation and definitely realization to everyone that it's out there and it could be right next door and we would never know it. And so we need to be, you know, aware and speak out about it.
Yeah, and I love the way that you're able to give us these characters that really make us rethink, I think, good and evil, or good mm-hmm. and bad, because as you said, when we hear assassin, we think bad, but it's like this story kind of also helps us to see how, you know, the actions that people take for different reasons. I mean, there's that one line in one of the characters, And I don't know, well, I guess I could say, with character Lucian, that's what I'll call him. So where he had said tonight, you know, talking when they were going back and forth, you don't kill innocents, that's my job. You know, I think it's such an interesting thing how that is kind of played with. What was that like for you, Yasmin, to be able to discuss the way we look at what's good and bad in the world?
Wow, what was that like for me? You know, I don't know, because when I'm looking at things, I'm always the kind of person who really tries to understand the motive and, you know, people's motivation for, you know, why they do the things that they do. And I really wanted in this book, especially with Nina, for there to be a motive. She's a person who, she's very loyal, and the organization that she works for, they have really good goals that they're trying to achieve. And how do I make these goals and her working for them kind of work for the reader? And yeah, so she's got a code and honor that she lives by. And it comes from, you know, her relationship with her father. And even though these people that she works for, they're very, cold and, well, they can be, but they're really super warm, right? And the family that she is adopted into is a wonderful family. And so I like those kind of contradictions, I think, to answer your question. I like a very complex character where there is something about them that you can understand as the reader and you can kind of like latch onto and love, but then also you can also dislike how they are in certain ways. I don't ever want a character or my story to be one way or the other. I want it to have a mix and to keep the reader just totally engaged and kind of like, you know, I don't know, not settled, and they're just kind of in their fields all the time. I'm rambling now. I'm sorry.
No. I mean, no, I get it. And I think that's it. And I think it goes to the other thing about remembering that Nina Knight is human. And we see that even mm-hmm. with another character, Delphine. I want to talk to you about that. I want to say for those who are just mm-hmm. tuning in, though, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. We're excited to welcome on her Pub Day author Yasmin Ongo. She's celebrating the release of her new book, Her Name is Knight, that it's already going to be more than a book, which we're excited to hear, and there's going to be more of Knight's story to come. I mentioned Delphine, and I think I'm pronouncing it correctly, and if not, mm-hmm. feel free to correct me. Yes, but I think it goes to, you know, Knight not losing her humanity, and mm-hmm. I think the character and her in interaction with Delphine being an example of that. What was that like for you to have her be reassured that there is good in the world? Because I think it also does that for us as readers, reminding us that even in the face of everything else, there are good people out there.
Yeah. I what was that? Like, what I wanted to do, because I knew that Nina and Aninye, her 14-year-old self, have been through a whole lot, and I didn't want her to lose hope. And in this world, it is so very easy when so many bad things happen to you back-to-back, right? And it just seems like there's no light at the end of the tunnel. I wanted her to experience that there is something still there. There's always something that is still there for you, no matter how big or small. And so that is who Delphine is to her. And then when she brings Nina into the Knight family, Nina gets that through Noble, her father, or Delphine's husband, and then also through Eileen, their daughter. And so she is comforted by the fact that everything isn't all bad, because the things that she's been through is enough to make people think like this world is just the worst and there's just nothing else and there's nothing else for me and there's nothing else somebody can take away from me. And what they do is essentially show her that there's still reason to live and there's still purpose for her. And she just has to repurpose herself. And so that's the kind of message, and that was something I was also telling myself and also something I was trying to tell my kids, you know, when they eventually read it, is that, you know, there's always something there for you, you know, even in your darkest moments, because there were some pretty dark moments for me, and I thought there's nothing, but there's always something there, and so I wanted to kind of shine that through my book.
Right.
And the characters in the book, yeah.
I want to ask you about one more passage, and I want to check with you before I get into this about the pronunciation of this name. Is it pronounced Kegel or Kegel?
Kegel.
So I want to read mm-hmm. something. This is part of the before section that you were talking about how the book is separated in chapter 70, where Nina's having this thought in conversation with Kegel. And this is what it was said, and for those who have the hardcover of the book, it's found on page 356. If only Kegel knew how complicated and intense life can really be, because here's the thing about the complexities of life, its cruelties and injustices, which permeate everything good and pure. I can write a book about all of it. So I wanted to ask you, because this is Yasmin writing this, of course, in Nina's voice, how much of you do we find in Her Name is Knight and in Knight?
That's a good question. How much of it? You find my culture, because my parents are from Ghana, so I am first generation Ghanaian American, born here. And you find the book is based, it's an homage to my dad. I had a great relationship with him before he passed away. And so you'll see that love and relationship through Nina's, the father figures in Nina's life, and the friendships, the new ones, and the found ones that she creates, her tribe. So those are the things I think from me that you'll see in there. And then one more thing is Nina really loves lemon pepper wings, and that is one of my favorite things to eat. So when she's eating that's all Yasmin right there is the lemon pepper wings. And I had a friend who read it, and she was like, you didn't put the lemon pepper. I said, I did. I really love it. And milkshakes, chocolate milkshakes. So I just had to. So that's the actual thing from me that you might see in there. But everything else is just, you know, my feelings at the time about my culture. I wanted to really highlight that. The tribe is my vision of, you know, what Africa could be, because I think it's such a wonderful continent and it has so many misconceptions, and I wanted to shine them in a light that they don't usually get seen. And then father figures and family and all of that on top of this really high action-packed story.
And the reason why I wanted to ask you that question, Yasmin, with that particular passage, because when she mentions about she could write a book about it, is this book also a way for you to get us to thinking about our history, our past, and how it does shape us and what we do and who we become?
Absolutely, absolutely. One thing, you know, in talking about, in highlighting my culture, right, was something about talking about past, and that's like, we are a culture of storytellers and oral storytellers, and that's how I've always lived my life. My mom tells me stories. My dad used to tell me stories, and that's what really brought me a sense of who I am and self and things like that. And so I'm so happy that you brought up that passage, because that's one of my favorite lines, because it is something, if you think about it, by that point, well, it depends on how you know, how – when you're in the book and you know that is the point in which things kind of like converge, her past and her present. And and she has written a book, right, in the sense of when she's talking about her childhood. And so that's what that line means is, you know, I've written a book, and she actually literally has written a book in telling you about her childhood. And so I'm huge on culture and our history and wanting to know who you are and where you come from. And this book, me also wanting to know who I am and who I come from, because I had a lot of conversation with my mother about, hey, you know, what was this like with dad and how did y'all meet? And like, you know, his region, the language that the dialect that he spoke, which is Twi. And that's the language that is highlighted in here along with our other dialects that we have in Ghana. And so that was me kind of learning about, and I'm still learning, but it was at my age now, I'm like, hey, it's time for me to really know where I am, where I came from, and this culture that I never really truly appreciated growing up as a child, because I wanted to be so American, you know, living here. Yeah. And now as an older person and with kids of my own, I want them to know all of that culture that they didn't get to know as like I did. And so that's definitely, hopefully the readers see that and it sparks them to want to talk to their parents or whoever is in their life or find out about where they come from and what is their culture and share it with everyone else.
Love that. Last thing I want to ask you about is kind of where we find ourselves coming full circle here, Yasmin, with the accomplishment of this. Because you talked about your children, of course. I mean, for Knight, it is about legacy as well, right? It's about trying to right, you know, wrongs, but also about the legacy leaving. How does that feel to know that you're able to show by example in 2021, publishing your debut novel, to show to your children and others what is possible?
Oh, wow. That is – I'm so happy you asked that, because that is a conversation that I had with my kids when I first found out that, you know, I got this deal. And, you know, coming to this, to where I am, has been a long time. It was over 20 years of writing, stopping and starting, living life, and having countless rejections from, you know, agents and editors on past books, and then even rejections on this book before I finally got, you know, the yes on it. And so what I've always wanted to show them, especially as, you know, Black kids, is that, you know, you can go for the things that you want, and you don't have to take no for an answer. If you know that, you know, you are passionate about it, you know you're good, and people might tell you, no, you're not good, but you know you are, you keep pushing, and you keep doing it, and this is this thing that I'm leaving to you, and now they can't tell me ever, I can't do it, Mom, because I could be like, but wait, yes, you can, and let me show you. Now I've got this tangible thing, you know, to show them that they can do it despite anything. You know, life has thrown me a lot of detours, and I had to stop writing for a minute. And I nearly stopped writing right before I got the yes, right before my agent gave me an offer. I almost quit. I let the rejections get to me, and I was like, you know what, maybe everybody is right, and I suck, and I'm not as good of a writer as I thought I was all these years. And I said, I'm going to quit, but, you know, one of my friends said, hey, there's this contest that, you know, you can, why don't you apply for that? And I was like, okay, I'm going to just do this one more thing, just one more thing. And that one more thing was the thing for me, because it got me a lot of publicity. This is after I had gotten my agent. So everything fell finally, you know, in line, boom, 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 right, one after the other. But it was just that thought of just one more thing to keep pushing and try this thing, and it became the thing for me. And so that is the legacy that I leave for my kids, and I hope that everybody else sees, is that just try this one more thing. And it doesn't have to be this big, huge success, as society may try to, like, label it. It could be as small as it brings you joy every day doing it. That's a success. And so you're doing this one more thing to bring you joy. That's a success. And so that, I hope, is what the legacy is that I leave for my kids and for everyone else.
What a great message, and what a great conversation. Again, everyone, Yasmin Ungo has been our guest. Her debut novel is out today. Her name is Night. You can get it through our friends at Amazon.com or through your favorite local bookstore. And, Yasmin, how can our audience stay connected with you?
They could stay connected with me at my website, which is yasminungo.com, and then on Twitter at YASA writer. And then on Instagram at author_Yaz.
All right. Yasmin, thank you so much for dropping by the show today. Really appreciate the time. Congratulations to you again on the book and all the great things that are happening with Night, and looking forward to catching back up with you again.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, Cyrus.
Okay, the pleasure is definitely all mine, and we thank you, our audience, for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. Now let's go make today amazing. Take care.